Thank you, everyone. The meeting is now called to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Elise Stoney.
Here.
Shelby Phillips. Elizabeth Eccles.
Present.
Tony Smith. Jerry Williams.
Here.
Anthony Stewart. Okay, roll has been called. It seems like we have a quorum.
Thank you. Next on the agenda for action is the approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we accept the tonight's meeting agenda as written.
A second.
So it has been motioned by Commissioner Eccles and second by Commissioner Williams. Is there a motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposes? That motion carries.
I'm wondering if Commissioner Smith can hear. Can you hear us, Commissioner Smith? I don't think.
You don't have his audio, I don't think.
Okay.
Hold on, let me.
He's muted.
He's muted. I just asked him to unmute.
Okay. Oh, I'm here.
Can you hear us? Okay. Okay.
All right.
Next on the agenda is the approval of the July 7th, 2020 meeting minutes. Did everyone have a chance to review the minutes, and are there any questions, comments, or corrections? So, Ms. Peeks, I did notice in the minutes that the the safeguard use permit is not listed. What's happened is that the text amendment for the safeguard landfill management is listed twice. But one of them should be the use permit.
Yeah, I see what you, okay. I'll make note of that. It's the second one should be the use permit, but text amendment is listed twice.
Yes.
Okay.
And also on page 407, under Michelle James, the second speaker on that page, that should be Durham Lakes HOA.
Michelle James?
Yes, Durham Lakes HOA.
Okay. Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments or corrections? Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I make a motion that the July 7, 2020 meeting minutes with corrections be accepted as read.
I second.
It has been motioned by Commissioner Eccles and second by Commissioner Williams. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposes? That motion carries. Next on the agenda for action is under new business, and it's the conceptual site plan 2020-0101 Package Depot at 7895 Sonoya Road, Highway 74. It's a request to construct an 8,200 square foot retail building at 7895 Sonoya Road, Highway 74. Staff.
Good evening, Commissioners. Tonight you have before you a conceptual site plan for Package Depot located at 7895 Sonoya Road, Highway 74. The applicant is proposing to build a 8,200 square feet retail building on Highway 74, which is located in the Highway 74 Overlay District. The subject property is zoned C2. and the applicant will be required to utilize the underground detention facility, which they're going to actually put in. They also will be required to meet all parking requirements. The existing 8,400 square feet building that's on the property now, which I think have about four tenants in it, will also be included in the renovation of the whole of the site. So the building, the existing building will be renovated, as well as a new building will be constructed. And staff has reviewed the application and the site plan and is recommending approval conditional with two conditions stated in the staff report.
Commissioners, are there any questions for staff? Ms. Peaks, just for the records, can you review what those conditions are?
Sure. The first condition is to the site plan submitted to the Department of Community Development, dated received July 9th, 2020. Said site plan is conceptual only and must meet or exceed the requirements of the city's regulations prior to the approval of a land disturbance permit. Unless otherwise noted herein, compliance with all conditions shall be in place prior to the issuance of a certificate of occupancy. Any major deviations from this site plan is subject to approval by the planning and zoning director or designee. The second condition is prior to construction, provide the city with copies of the approved agreements and easements between all involved parties, owners for the driveway, interparcel access ways and sidewalks. All plans for road improvement shall be submitted, reviewed, and approved by the city engineer and GDOT, if applicable, and appropriate permits issued prior to construction and authorization.
So is the applicant here and would like to make a presentation?
He's on. I'm not sure if you want to say anything.
No, I really don't have anything to say, unless you have a question for me.
Okay. Commissioners, are there any questions for the applicant? Hearing none.
I have one question. Okay. The new addition that's going up, what is going to be in that new addition?
Exactly. Well, the new building is going to be a standalone package depot. So, the existing package depot is going to move into that. So, the owner is making a separate building for himself.
I'm sorry. The second building is going to house what?
It's going to house the existing package shop that the owner owns.
So, Ms. Echols, the existing package store that's in the existing building will move from that location into the new building.
Oh, and what's going to be in the existing building?
It will be for tenant rentals to come, businesses, small businesses.
He said small businesses. So basically it'll be retail commercial businesses in there.
Commissioners, are there any other questions for the applicant or for staff? Hearing none. Commissioners, you have before you the conceptual site plan 2020-0101 Package Depot. It's a request to construct an 8,200 square foot retail building at 7895 Sonoya Road. This is before you for review and a final decision. Is there a motion?
I move to accept conceptual site plan 2020-101 Package Depot, based on the conditions that have been applied.
I second.
It has been motioned by Commissioner Williams and seconded by Commissioner Smith. All those in favor? Any opposes? I'm not hearing everyone. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposes? That motion carries. Next on the agenda is the preliminary plat 2020-0093 Trillium Reserve at 0 Fayetteville Road. Parcel number ID is 09 F as in Frank 11030045097. It's a request to subdivide a 34.23 acre tract into 54 single family.
Commissioners, this agenda item is a preliminary plat for Trillium Reserve, which is a single family subdivision that was approved by the City Council on August the 12th, 2019 for 54 single family lots. The applicant has submitted a preliminary plat and staff has reviewed the plat and considers it to meet the city's current regulations, and staff has recommended approval of the Trillium Reserve preliminary plat.
Commissioners, are there any questions for staff? Is the applicant here and would like to make a presentation?
No, they're not, at least Commissioner Stoney. Okay.
Thank you. So, Commissioners, you have before you for discussion and a motion and a final decision the preliminary plat for Trillium Reserve. It's a request to subdivide a 34.23 acre tract into 54 single family lots. Is there a motion?
I move to accept preliminary plat 2020093 Trillium Reserve preliminary plat. Move for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
It has been motioned by Commissioner Williams and seconded by Commissioner Eccles. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposes? That motion carries. Next item under new business is the rezoning 2020-0090 and concurrent variance 2020-095 SCP Acquisitions LLC. It's a request to rezone 14.979 acres from C2 General Commercial District to RM36 Multifamily Residential District to allow a 287-unit multifamily residential development with a concurrent variance to reduce the required parking spaces from two spaces per unit to 1.5 spaces. Staff?
Commissioners, you have before you a rezoning petition with a concurrent variance for South City Partners acquisition. They're seeking to rezone property from C2 General Commercial District to RM36 multifamily to allow 287 multifamily residential units. The concurrent variance is a request to reduce the required parking spaces from 2 spaces to 1.50 spaces. Staff has reviewed the applicant's request with the comprehensive plan as well as the future land use map, and they both are consistent. The applicant's request is consistent with the comprehensive plan and the future development map, and therefore staff is recommending approval conditional with a set of conditions that the applicant is in agreement with. And again, staff is recommending approval conditional.
Commissioners, are there any questions for staff? Ms. Peaks is the applicant here and would like to make a presentation.
I have a question for staff.
Okay, Commissioner Williams.
Okay, I'd like to know, in that same immediate area, how many multi-units apartments do we have in that area now?
Croft House has just been completed. It's about 283, and Sean can, Roscoe, he's on the line. He can confirm that.
It's 276 units.
Okay, 276.
Yes, sir.
Was that unit also with 1.5 parking spaces, or was it with 2?
Yes, sir. It was 1.5.
1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in other words, you got an approval for that 1.5.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so you're asking for the same thing for this complex.
Exactly.
My question is, if you reduce the space like that, how many more units are you allowed to construct? Are you going to use all that space for other units? Are you going to use it for some rec area as well? What are the uses for that extra area that you requested?
Well, we have all kinds of uses planned. We've got open lawn areas. We've got bocce ball court, volleyball. We've got dog parks planned. So we use these spaces as efficiently as possible. And just by reducing the paved area, it does give us opportunity to build some of those amenities that you see at, you know, Croft House and also this site plan as well.
In your current unit, the 276 units where you have the 1.5 parking spaces already approved, are they having any problems over there with parking?
No. So actually, we've got a very efficient use of parking there. We've got roughly 150 units occupied at the moment. And out of those 150 units, that is 275 beds. Meaning there's a large majority of about half of them have been two bedrooms that were rented. And then out of those 275 beds, we only have 186 residents, meaning, you know, that there should have been, if you look at the unit mix, there could have been a lot more parkers, but it's actually worked out to be very efficient where we've got plenty of parking for the amount of residents that we actually have.
So, but if you had full occupancy, what kind of impact would that have then? Are we looking at in some time in the near future, I'm sure that complex will have 100% occupancy. And what's that going to do when you have that many people there? How is it going to affect the parking? Because one of the things that I've noticed in most complexes which have this type of parking available, space available, usually that creates some problems.
Well, so what we're seeing is that we're only parking about 1.2 cars per unit currently. And the only units that we have left are one bedrooms. So I expect it to be even lower going forward, which means we'll continue to have plenty of spaces per unit.
Has there been any studies done based on the 1.5 units, parking spaces per unit? Are there any type of studies that's available? You know, it just seems to be, you know, in society today, most people have at least two vehicles. And then usually, even if it's a one bedroom, there's usually two people there. And two people are usually working, and both usually have a vehicle. And so that's one of my concerns. I've seen in most places that I've seen where they, parking spaces have not been sufficient, it also creates other problems, creates a lot of crime.
Well,
so I have a concern about the 1.5 units personally.
I think that's, you know, exactly where we're coming from, is that from experience, that 1.5 spaces is more than enough. I mean, we're parking less than a space per unit in a lot of apartment complexes, you know, across the Southeast. We're in Charleston and all around Atlanta. And a little bit in Tuscaloosa, and 1.5 spaces per unit is actually the highest that we're parking these apartments. And from experience in Fairburn, the 1.5 has been more than enough per unit.
You know, I've been in several complexes here, and I've seen people parking on grass and everything else.
We don't allow that.
I know you don't allow it, but I've seen people park like that, even though you don't allow it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that's one of the problems that you have when you have apartment complexes like that, and you don't have sufficient parking. People, you know, it creates a lot of problems.
Well, that's
not only for the occupants who live there, but for people who come there. Create parking problems for the people who live there. I've lived in major cities where I've seen tremendous problems behind limited parking like that, and usually one of the major factors that I've noticed in those complexes like that is that you have a lot of crime because of that, and I'm concerned. Fairburn has a very low crime rate right now, and that concerns me. Because when I drive in and out of these complexes, I notice that there's, even now, that there are a lot of the complexes that seemingly that people are parking in areas they shouldn't be parking in. It's not sufficient parking spaces. And so I'm a little bit concerned.
If I may weigh in here a little bit, this is Will Cassidy. I'm also with South City Partners. So one of the studies that we did do previous to our rezoning approval for Crosshouse Fairburn was we did look at Solstice, which was our previous project, and we looked at the parking ratio there upon full stabilization. So when that project was completely stabilized with 100% occupancy, et cetera, we looked at the number of people that were parked there, the parking ratio that we had, and we did a variety of parking space counts throughout multiple periods of time. And what we found there was that the parking ratio we had at Solstice was far too high. So we had a significant number of vacant spaces at all times of the day. And so the justification behind our initial approval on 1.5 spaces for Crosshouse Fairburn was simply that Solstice was significantly overparked. And so, frankly, as Sean mentioned earlier, the mathematical, you know, reality behind this is that low as 1.25 and be adequate in terms of the number of units and spaces that are actually occupied and are not that are occupied, but the number of units and spaces that are actually being used. But what we're asking for is 1.5, and we believe that at 1.5 we're actually creating a buffer between the reality of the usage and the rezoning request or the variance request.
Okay, so if you do not get that 1.5 and it remains at two parking spaces, how many units would you have to reduce in order to maintain that parking space of two cars per unit?
We would have to do the quick math on that, but I would estimate that would be somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 75 units or so.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that makes the project makes the project too small to be financeable.
So now you're looking at a reduction also in square footage of the units, which is 75 square feet, I think that I read. So and along with the parking and that, then that would reduce your number of units considerably, wouldn't it? If you didn't get both of those approved.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're looking at just simply 75 with the parking alone. So if we take 75 square feet away from each unit, then how many more units are you going to lose with that?
Well, I think we're actually asking to reduce the square footage. So are you suggesting that the denial of the square footage reduction? So if you denied the square footage reduction, that would actually it would increase the number of units by virtue of the fact that we'd have to build them larger.
Okay.
Am I understanding that question?
It would reduce the number of units if you had to build them larger, is what I'm saying. How many?
How
much the reduction is what I'm asking you. How much reduction would that be? We're looking already at approximately 75 units without the square footage. So if we reduce that, how many more units are we looking at? We're looking at a total of 280 some units here. So I'm trying to see what the actual count would be if you didn't get these things approved.
Sure. So we would have to run those numbers to be honest with you. So Sean, on the average footage, mm-hmm. if you just assume the average footage of our current unit mix and you know, increase that or just looked at the overall footage. So that's a very complicated question, unfortunately,
yeah, because
the way the buildings lay out and the number of stories we've got. So the reality is that's not unfortunately as easy a question to answer as it might sound, but you know, assuming that, you know,
at some point, I'm sure you could compute that at some point. I know maybe not right
we,
off the
we
top
could.
Of the head. Now, one of the other questions I have, and then I'm going to close at that. What are you proposing as far as the rental amount for these units?
The one bedrooms would start at $1,175 per month, which is our lease rate at Croft House Fairburn right now. And they two bedrooms start at $1,475, and then the three bedroom unit, which we only have a few of those, would be at $1,725.
Okay.
I got a question, Alicia.
Okay.
I got a question.
Commissioner Smith.
Yeah. So I got a couple of concerns to the applicants. So have you guys, why are we trying to put residential apartments in commercial area? I mean, I have a concern about that. You know, that's a commercial area down in that area. And why are we trying to put residential apartments there? That's number one. And number two, have you guys did any kind of hearing, a Zoom hearing with the current residents that's there to see what kind of what kind of impact this gonna have on them? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I'll start with your second question. We did hold a public hearing and notified every one of the residents within 500 feet of the property. And we did not have a single person show up to that meeting. It was in person and also on Zoom and had a call-in number. So, you know, we have not heard from a single person. And then also, you know.
So do you have proof? Do you have proof that you sent out some letters or anything to the current residents that are there?
I have the letter that I sent out. Tarika has that. Ms. Peaks has that.
Okay.
I don't have a receipt that it's been sent or anything. It was sent through USPS. And then to answer your first question, we believe this conforms with the future use plan. You know, with the retail along Highway 74, I'm looking at the site plan right now. It actually lends itself to be a pretty nice mixed use area back there, with the current apartments that we have at Croft House, the new little bit of dining and store at the corner that's currently being constructed. There's the Starbucks, you know, the little walk up retail strip center, Fairburn Commons. And this is back off Highway 74 a little bit, and I think it, you know, fits in there quite nicely in order to support those businesses coming along Highway 74, and also be able to allow for maybe some big box stores to come in the future, maybe Publix, Kroger, Whole Foods or something in the area, because, you know, I think there's land for that to be developed. There's just currently not the rooftops that are allowing that to happen.
So in other words, are you saying you think that the fact that you put in this unit would be something that would attract Kroger's or something?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the residents that we're bringing to the Fairburn area with these apartments are those that have expendable income, first of all. And second of all, you have to have just the density of shoppers in order to attract something like a Publix or, you know, a Whole Foods or those big box stores. And that's just not something that's been able to be supported along Highway 74 until possibly, you know, when something like this is complete.
But my question, going back to my question again, did you guys really send out something and try to get some kind of impact on the current residents that living there?
Absolutely. And, yeah, it was required by zoning.
Can I ask Tarika, do you have a letter?
Yes, I have the letter that they mailed out. Also, the addresses that were mailed, the letter was mailed to, as well as the public meeting that the applicant hosted. All property owners within 500 feet receives a letter that the city provides to the applicant to mail out, as well as the addresses that they are required to notify everyone within that 500 feet radius. And so that has happened. No, we haven't required applicants to do certified mail on those particular mailings, but you know, we trust that they go out the way that they should go out. We haven't had any issues in the past with that. Also, I will add that actually our process, we go a little above and beyond with notifying the public. The city's ordinance only requires for rezoning a legal ad to be posted in the city's legal organ, which is the South Fulton Neighbor, and for a sign to be posted on the site no later than 15 days before the public hearing date, which is not the Planning and Zoning Commission date, it's actually the City Council date. Both of those things will take place. And so the public participation plan that the applicant actually submits to the city gives us a plan of how he plans to notify the residents, where he plans to have the meeting, and the concerns and issues that are expressed by those that attend the meeting. They have to submit that information back to staff. And so South City Partners did what they were supposed to do. And so everything was done according to the city's ordinance. And I, in my opinion, I think a little above and beyond.
So you never got any feedback from the residents already there?
No, I haven't.
We did speak to some of the retail owners along Highway 74, and they were very excited for it.
Commissioner Smith,
are you? It was excited. Go ahead,
Lisa. Do you have any more questions, Commissioner Smith?
No, that's all right. Go ahead. Okay, I don't have any more.
Commissioners, are there any other questions for staff or the applicant?
Yes, for the applicant. Do you think has this happened before that you haven't received not one response from the community that you've sent out notices to? And if so, has it been that no one has ever responded to your notices? And I ask this because since these are apartments, they're not homeowners, do you think maybe that has something to do with it?
You asking me, so Commissioner Eppes, or Sean?
Sean. Oh, this is Will. Real quick with South City. Okay. So I'd like to clarify that the notices that went out, many of those were to homeowners. So there's a subdivision that backs up to our first project, Crosshouse Fairburn. So those homes were within the radius that the notices went out to. So if I may, I'll answer your question twofold. The first is, no, it is not unusual that we don't see responses. I mean, we, as Sean alluded to earlier, we do projects all over the southeastern U.S. And typically what we find is that when no one shows up, it's because no one has an objection or no one has anything bad to say or any sort of negative commentary. Usually people don't show up to say great things and pat you on the back. They usually only show up to say that they disagree. So it's actually more likely that if no one showed up, that no one had a problem to voice. So secondly, many of the people that were notified are homeowners and they were aware of the first project as well. I think the reality is, to the other point that was made earlier about this project being in the commercial district, that's actually a positive because of the way this sets up and because of the way the project is, you know, juxtaposed against the surrounding residential and against the surrounding commercial. It doesn't impede upon any of the single family residential because it's not on their street. It's not across the street from them, et cetera. But it's a very nice complement to the commercial district because, as Sean alluded to earlier, it supports those businesses and it creates rooftops, it creates customers, it creates a mixed use environment that we have seen time and time again be significantly more successful than environments where the residential, commercial, office, et cetera, districts are all very segmented. So when you can blend them together, you actually get the best of all worlds. So I hope that answers the question. Apologies for being a little bit long-winded, but hopefully that answers all your questions.
That's okay. Another question. The existing property that you have there, apartment complex that you have there, they're not completely filled, correct?
Correct.
And that's the one that you said that has 150 units, only 150 units out of 200 plus units occupied?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you're ready to build another apartment complex with more than 200 units. Are these units, are these apartment complexes any way subsidized or Section 8, that type of rentals?
So they are not Section 8. We have applied for a Bonds for Title tax abatement, which is a 10-year Bonds for Title tax abatement structure, and we can explain more on that later if need be, but I will sort of skip ahead to answering that question. So the answer is no, all of these units are at market rate, and the occupancy that we currently see is consistent with the trajectory that you would see on any new project. And frankly, it's actually a little bit ahead of where you would see the trajectory be for a new project. The reality is when you build a new project, they don't go from zero to 100% overnight. It typically takes a little over a year to go from 0% occupancy to 100% occupancy. And the reason for that is because, number one, we deliver it in phases, so we don't deliver the whole project day one. And number two, it just takes people time to figure out that it exists, and you can only do so many leases per month simply from a production and a you know, staffing standpoint. There's only so many leases you can do per month. So on a project of this size, we would expect it to lease up in a little over 12 months. Currently at Croft House Fairburn, we are ahead of that trajectory. So by the time we deliver units at this new project, Croft House Fairburn would already be stabilized and at, you know, 90 plus percent occupancy.
One more question. I think it's Sean, you mentioned that you had plans for other things to go into the existing space that you have that is unoccupied. Can you run down again what you plan on? First of all, are you planning on building more apartment complexes back there?
So to clarify, we don't own any other land in that area. So we are acquiring the property to construct this project. So all of the commercial and surrounding properties are owned by others.
Okay. After this apartment complex that you're building now, will there be any more vacant space that you have to build something else?
Not upon the property that we're looking to acquire, no. So the project that you have before you, we would use that site entirely for this project.
Okay.
Commissioner Stoney.
Yes.
I have one more question if you don't mind.
Okay, Commissioner, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So sir, I want to ask this question. So if you guys, if you don't have the current apartment filled to a capacity, what makes you think you're going to get these filled to a capacity?
Due to the experience we have in this space, and that's across tens of thousands of units and over 20 years of experience in this industry, we are confident that not only based on our experience in this market specifically vis-a-vis Solstice and vis-a-vis Croft House Fairburn, but also our experience in the multifamily industry, we are confident that the trajectory and the leasing velocity that we have seen on Croft House Fairburn will ultimately lead to a stabilization in an amount of time that is less than what we initially projected. So that's the reason that we believe that starting on another project now would not create any issues, but for multiple reasons. Number one, because as we work our way through this process with the city, it will take us some period of time between now and the time that we actually receive approvals. And then once we receive approvals, it will take us approximately another year to construct the first set of units. So we wouldn't deliver our first apartment in this project you have before you for at least another 12 to 14 months from today. So from 12 to 14 months from today, and then another 6 to 8 months from the time we deliver our first unit to the time that we complete the project, that puts us at about 2 years from today to the stabilization of our second project. So for those reasons, we believe that over the next couple of years, the momentum and the growth that we have seen in Fairburn will continue to contribute to additional individuals wanting to either relocate to Fairburn, relocate within Fairburn, or, you know, find Fairburn to be an attractive place that that they want to settle down. So if I can just try to make one thing clear, it's that despite that we are not fully occupied yet on the existing project, we did not expect to be by this point in time. We're actually, but with that said, we are ahead of where we anticipated we would be.
In 2 years, you said you wouldn't, you're not expected to be, you wouldn't, you wasn't expected to be filled in 2 years?
We've only been leasing in the current, in Croft House Fairburn, which is our existing project, we've only been leasing there for about 7 months. So in that 7 month period, we have occupied the 150 plus units that are currently occupied today. That leasing will continue across the next few months. So that project will stabilize in around 12 months. That is our anticipation. So if that project stabilizes in approximately 12 months, by the time we deliver the next project, which would not be until another 12 to 14 months from now, that project will have been stabilized already for approximately 5 to 6 months. Does that make sense? So said another way, so Croft House Fairburn, as we sit today, has 150 units occupied. That leaves approximately 120 units or 115 units left to occupy before that project is stabilized. So the 150 units has occurred in 7 months. We have another 112 to lease. So if those 112 units get leased over the course of the next 5 months, that project will be stabilized within a 12-month period. So 5 months from today, we anticipate that Croft House Fairburn would be stabilized. We would not deliver the very first unit for the project you have before you for at least 14 months from today. So if you take the 5 months that we are today for Croft House Fairburn, or 5 more months from today, and then you look at the 12 to 14 months that we would expect to deliver our first unit at the new project, that leaves you approximately 7 months between stabilization of Croft House Fairburn and the very first unit being delivered at the project you have before you. Does that make sense? Apologies. I know this is a little bit confusing, but said another way, Croft House Fairburn will stabilize well in advance of a new project delivering additional units.
That's all I have, Lise.
Okay. Commissioners, are there any other questions for the applicant or staff?
Look like Mr. Sam? Phillips got his hand raised.
Mr. Phillips has his hand raised, Elise.
Commissioner Phillips, you're there? You have a question?
We can't hear you, Mr. Phillips.
Commissioner Phillips, you're on mute. You're on mute. We can't hear you.
Now he is.
He's muted.
Commissioner, so we're going to have to move on. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I say he's unmuted, but
unmuted now.
For some reason, his voice isn't coming through.
Yeah.
It's probably something on his end with his computer.
Yeah, he got to click his computer. Click it down.
Can you type it in the chat, Commissioner Phillips?
Speaking, I can see his lips moving.
Can I ask one last question while he's
deciding?
Gentlemen, why did you choose Fairburn to build your apartment complexes? Sean or Will?
Apologies, I was on mute. So we chose Fairburn because Fairburn is a growing city and we really like growing cities. There's a lot of things that are attractive about Fairburn. Its proximity to jobs is a big thing. It's got proximity to Atlanta. It's got proximity to Peachtree City. It's got proximity to some of the other surrounding suburbs that are, that are also growth markets. So we picked Fairburn first and foremost because it's a growth market, and we love growth markets because it produces high quality residents. It produces high quality projects. And secondly, we picked Fairburn because the city has been fantastic to work with. We've worked all over the southeastern United States, and we come across cities that are difficult to deal with and cities that are nowhere near as accommodating and willing to help and frankly as straightforward as Fairburn has been. So we also really like doing business in cities that have their head on straight. So that's a compliment to your staff. I think they're really great to work with. So that's really the main reason we picked Fairburn. I mean, I think Highway 74 is a highly trafficked road and brings in a lot of people. And frankly, one thing that we found that Fairburn was missing was the opportunity to create housing for people. And that's one thing that really attracted us to Fairburn is the lack of housing, despite the fact that there are so many people that would otherwise choose to live in Fairburn.
We have a lot of apartment complexes in Fairburn, not in that particular area, but there are quite a few. But thank you.
So commissioners, someone else had a question?
Commissioner Phillips still is, I think it's something.
He's talking.
Okay, so commissioners, you have before you for discussion and a motion for a recommendation to council for rezoning number 2020-0090 and a concurrent variance 2020-0095 South City Partners Acquisitions LLC. It's a request to rezone 14.979 acres from C2 General Commercial District to RM36 Multifamily Residential District to allow a 287-unit multifamily residential development with a concurrent variance to reduce required parking spaces from 2 spaces per unit to 1.5 spaces. Is there a motion?
I move to deny rezoning 2020090 with a current variance 2020095.
Second.
I second.
It was motioned by Commissioner Williams and second by Commissioner Echols to deny the request. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposes? That motion carries, and this will be forwarded to the City Council for further action.
Can I ask a question, Elise? Who made the motion?
Commissioner Williams.
And Echols second.
Second, yes.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is the staff report.
No report tonight, commissioners.
Okay, so we'll move on to commissioner comments. Commissioner Smith? Any comments?
No comments.
Commissioner Echols?
No comment, thank you.
Commissioner Williams.
No comment.
Commissioner Phillips, do you have audio yet? Okay. So with that, I will consider a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, and have a good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.